Intelligence is intrinsic to life. Intelligence is a natural quality of life. Just as fire is heart and air is invisible and water flows downwards, so is life intelligent. Intelligence is not an achievement. You are born intelligent. Trees are intelligent in their own way. They have enough intelligence for their own life. Birds are intelligent, so are animals. In fact, what religions mean by God is only this, that the universe is intelligent, that there is intelligence hidden everywhere. And if you have eyes to see, you can see it everywhere. Life is intelligence. Only man has become unintelligent. Man has damaged the natural flow of life. Except man, there is no unintelligence. Have you ever seen a bird you can call stupid? Have you ever seen an animal you can call idiotic? No. Such things happen only to man. Something has gone wrong. Man's intelligence has been damaged, corrupted, has been crippled. And meditation is nothing but undoing of that damage. Meditation will not be needed at all if man is left alone. If the priest and the politician does not interfere with man's intelligence, there will be no need for any meditation. Meditation is medicinal. First you have to create the disease, then meditation is needed. If the disease is not there, meditation is not needed. And it is not accidental that the word medicine and meditation come from the same root. It is medicinal. Each child is born intelligent. And the moment the child is born, we bounce upon him and start destroying his intelligence. Because intelligence is dangerous to the political structure, to the social structure, to the religious structure. It is dangerous to the Pope, it is dangerous to the Shankaracharya of Puri. It is dangerous to the priest, it is dangerous to the leader. It is dangerous to the status quo, the establishment. Intelligence is naturally rebellious. Intelligence cannot be forced to any servitude. Intelligence is very assertive, individual. Intelligence cannot be converted into a mechanical imitation. People have to be converted into carbon copies. Their originality has to be destroyed. Otherwise, all the nonsense that has existed on the earth will be impossible. You need a leader because first you have to be made unintelligent. Otherwise, there is no need for any leader. Why you should follow anybody? You will follow your intelligence. If somebody wants to become a leader, then one thing has to be done. Your intelligence has somewhere to be destroyed. You have to be shaken from your very roots. You have to be made afraid. You have to be made unconfident of yourself. That is the must. Only then the leader can come in. If you are intelligent, you will solve your problems yourself. Intelligence is enough to solve all the problems. In fact, whatsoever problems are created in life, you have more intelligence than those problems. It is a provision. It is a God's gift. But there are ambitious people who want to rule, dominate. There are ambitious madmen. They create fear in you. Fear is like rust. It destroys all intelligence. If you want to destroy somebody's intelligence, the first necessary thing is to create fear. Create hell and make people afraid. When people are afraid of hell, they will go to the priest and bow down to the priest. They will listen to the priest. If they don't listen to the priest, the hellfire. Naturally, they are afraid. They have to protect themselves from hellfire, and the priest is needed. The priest becomes a must. I have heard about two men who were partners in a business. Their business was very unique. They used to travel around the country. One partner will come in the town. In the night he will go around and throw coal tar on people's windows. And then he will disappear by the morning. After 2-3 days the other will come. He used to cleanse the coal tar. And he will clean the windows of people. And people will pay, of course they have to pay. They were partners in the same business. One will damage, the other will come to undo it. Fear has to be created and greed has to be created. Intelligence is not greedy. You will be surprised to know, intelligent man is never greedy. Greed is part of unintelligence. You hoard for tomorrow because you are not confident that tomorrow you will be able to tackle your life. Otherwise, why hoard? You hoard, you become misers, you become greedy because you don't know. Tomorrow maybe your intelligence will be capable to cope with life or not, who knows. You are not confident about your intelligence. So you hoard, you become greedy. An intelligent person is not afraid, is not greedy. Greed and fear go together. That's why heaven and hell go together. Hell is fear, heaven is greed. Create fear in people and create greed in people. Make them as greedy as possible. Make them so much greedy that life cannot satisfy them. Then they will go to the priest and to the leader. Then they will start fantasizing about some future life where their fullest desires, stupid fantasies, will be fulfilled. Watch it. To demand the impossible is to be unintelligent. An intelligent person is perfectly satisfied with the possible. He works for the probable. He never works for the impossible and the improbable. No. He looks at life, its limitations. He is not a perfectionist. A perfectionist is a neurotic. If you are a perfectionist, you will go neurotic. For example, if you love a woman and you ask absolute fidelity, you will go mad. And she will go mad. This is not possible. Absolute fidelity means she will not even think, she will not even dream of another man. This is not possible. Who you are, why she has fallen in love with you? Because you are a man. If she can fall in love with you, why cannot she think of others? That possibility remains open. And how she is going to manage if she sees some beautiful person walking by and if a desire arises in her? Even to say that this man is beautiful is to desire. The desire has entered. You only say something is beautiful when it feels worthy to be purchased, to be enjoyed. You are not indifferent. Now, if you ask absolute fidelity as people have asked, then there is bound to be conflict, and you will remain suspicious. And you will remain suspicious because you know your mind too, you also think of other women. So how you can trust that your woman is not thinking of other men? You know you are thinking, so you know she is also thinking. No, distrust, conflict, agony. The love that was possible has become impossible because of impossible desires. People ask that which cannot be done. You want security for the future, which is not possible. You want absolute security for tomorrow. It cannot be guaranteed. It is not the nature of life. An intelligent person knows it is not the nature of life. Future remains open. The bank can go bankrupt. The wife can escape with somebody. The husband can die. The children may prove unworthy. Who knows about tomorrow? You may fall ill. You may become crippled. Who knows about tomorrow? To ask security for tomorrow means remaining in constant fear. It is not possible, so fear cannot be destroyed. Fear will be there, you will be trembling. And meanwhile, the present moment is being missed. With the desire of security in the future, you are destroying the present, which was the only life available. And more you will become shaken, afraid, greedy. A child is born, a child is a very, very open phenomenon, utterly intelligent. But we jump upon him, we start destroying his intelligence, we start creating fear in him. You call it teaching, you call it that you are making the child capable to cope with life. You create fear in him. He is unafraid. And your schools, colleges, universities, they all make him more and more unintelligent. They demand foolish things. They demand foolish things to be crammed, which the child and his natural intelligence cannot see any point for what. The child cannot see the point why cram these things. But the university says, the college says, the home, the family, the well-wishers say you cram. You don't know now, but later on you will know. It is needed. Cram the history. All the nonsense that man has been doing to other men. All the madness, cram it. And the child cannot see the point. What does it matter when a certain king ruled England, from what date to what date, he has to claim those stupid things. Naturally, his intelligence becomes more and more burdened, crippled, more and more dust collects on intelligence. By the time a man comes back from the university, he is unintelligent. The university has done its job. It is very rarely that a man can come from the university yet intelligent, yet remaining intelligent. Very few people have been able to escape the university, avoid the university, pass through the university and yet saved their intelligence. Very rarely. It is such a great mechanism to destroy. The moment you become educated, you have become unintelligent. Can't you see this? The educated person behaves very unintelligently. Go to the primitive people who have never been educated and you will find a pure intelligence functioning. I have heard a woman was trying to open a tin and she could not find the way how to open it. So she went to look into the cookery book. By the time she looked into the book, the cook opened it. She came back and she was surprised. She asked the cook, "How did you do it?" He said, "Lady, when you don't know how to read, you have to use your intelligence." Yes, it is right. When you don't know how to read, you have to use your intelligence. What else you can do? The moment you start reading, those three dangerous R's, when you have become capable of them, you need not be intelligent. The books will take care. Have you watched it? When a person starts typing, his handwriting is lost. Then his handwriting is no more beautiful. There is no need. The typewriter takes care. If you carry a calculator in your pocket, you will forget all mathematics. There is no need. Sooner or later, there will be small computers and everybody will be carrying them and they will have all the information of an Encyclopedia Britannica. Then there will be no need for you to be intelligent at all. The computer will take care. Go to the primitive people, uneducated people, the villagers, and you will find a subtle intelligence. Yes, they are not more informed, that is true. They are not knowledgeable, that is true. But they are tremendously intelligent. Their intelligence is like a flame with no smoke around it. The society has done something wrong with man for certain reasons. It wants you to be slaves. It wants you to be always afraid. It wants you to be always greedy. It wants you to be always ambitious. It wants you always to be competitive. It wants you to be unloving. It wants you to be full of anger and hatred. It wants you to remain weak, imitative, carbon copies. It does not want you to become original Buddhas, original Krishnas or Christs, no. That's why your intelligence has been destroyed. Meditation is needed only to undo what the society has done. It is just, meditation is negative. It simply negates the damage. It destroys the illness. And once the illness is gone, your well-being asserts on its own accord. And in this century, this has gone too far. Universal education has been a calamity. And remember, I am not against education, I am against this education. There is a possibility of a different kind of education which will be helpful in sharpening your intelligence, not destroying it, which will not burden it with unnecessary facts, which will not burden it by useless rubbish knowledge, which will not burden it at all, rather will help it to become more radiant, fresh, young. This education makes you only capable to memorize. That education will make you to be capable of more clarity. This education destroys your inventiveness. That education will help you to become more inventive. For example, the education that I would like in the world will not require a child to answer in an old stereotyped way. It will not encourage the answer that is written in the books. It will not encourage repetition, parroting. It will encourage inventiveness. Even if the invented answer is not so right as the copied answer can be, still it will appreciate the boy who has brought a new answer to an old problem. Certainly his answer cannot be that right as Socrates' answer, naturally, a small boy. His answer cannot be that exact as Albert Einstein, naturally, but to ask that his answer should be as right as Albert Einstein is foolish. If he is inventive, he is in the right direction. One day he will become an Albert Einstein. If he is trying to create something new, naturally he has his limitations. But just the effort that he is trying to create something new should be appreciated, should be praised. Education should not be competitive. People should not be judged against each other. Competitiveness is very violent and very destructive. Somebody is not good at mathematics and you call him mediocre, but he may be good at carpentry, but nobody looks at that. A real education will help the people to find their life where they can be fully alive. If a man is born to be a carpenter, then that is the right thing for him to do. There is nobody to enforce anything else. This world can become such a great, intelligent world. If a man is allowed to be himself, helped to be himself, supported in every way to be himself, nobody comes in and interferes. In fact, nobody manipulates the child. If he wants to become a dancer, then that's good. Dancers are needed. Much dance is needed in the world. If he wants to become a poet, good. Much poetry is needed. It is never enough. If he wants to become a carpenter or a fisherman, perfectly good. If he wants to become a woodcutter, perfectly good. There is no need for him to become a president or a prime minister. In fact, lesser people become interested on those targets. It will be a blessing.